Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jana Bala Girharir Hari Gopi Jana Bala Girharir Hari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari
Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahamsa Bhairaj, Gajara Sotir, Sutta Shri Srimana Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nathagoda Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Shurada Sakura Ki Jai. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Staya Buddhaya Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Namaste 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 Namaste. Okay. Sri Janmashtami Ki Sri Radhashtami Ki Jai. Srimati Radharani. Sorry, I'm in a little trouble with my computer. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Well, today is the very glorious appearance day of Srimati Radharani. A very, very wonderful day for all the devotees. Just incredible that we have this new altar, new Srinivasans, and such beautiful decorations. As Hare Puja Prabhu was reading the list of all of the people who have helped, I wasn't thinking so much of all the wonderful things they actually did, which are certainly fantastic. But of all the devotion that's here, and particularly it seems like in our community we have a very strong sense of devotion to Srimati Radharani, and that's really, really wonderful because Radharani is of such great importance. She is really our entryway, in a sense, to Krishna. It is through Radharani that we will achieve the lotus feet of Sri Shyamasundar. So, most auspicious day, probably long Janmashtami, at the two most important days for the Vaishnavas, because we do not worship Krishna alone. He is never... Is this loud enough? Doesn't sound much volume. Krishna is never alone, but he's with his devotees. I think it should be. I feel like I'm yelling. He's never alone, but with his devotees. And his greatest devotee is Srimati Radharani. So just as our deity names are always Radha Krishna, Radha Shyama Sundar, or even Sitaram, Lakshmi Narayan, the name of the consort, the female counterpart of Radharani and her expansions, is always there along with Krishna. And I was thinking that even in our Hare Krishna mantra that we chant 1,728 times a day, minimum, that, of course, Hare is what Prabhupada said is the vocative. Is it vocative or vocative? Anyone know? Vocative. The vocative form of Hara, which is the name of Radha. Now, I've heard Prabhupada say that for like 50 years, and I actually never knew exactly what vocative meant. So I looked it up. It's a grammatical form. It's when we call someone directly by their name. It's a direct address. Like if you said, Tamahara came over here, that's not vocative. You said, Tamahara, can you come over here? That's a vocative address directly to the person. So we are directly addressing Radharani. Why? We are asking her for her help, for her mercy to engage us in the service to Krishna. So that's our constant prayer. When you think about it, there's, eight Hare's and four Krishnas and four Ramas. So very, very prominent. We're always calling on Radharani for her help and her mercy. So anyway, today I want to discuss a little bit about the spiritual position of Srimati Radharani. We really need to understand the theology and the philosophical issues of who Radharani is, what her position is. I want to talk about her appearance on earth, because this is her appearance day. How we approach Krishna through Radharani, and I'd like to really talk about her mercy to the devotees, her wonderful kindness and mercy that all the devotees relish. She also talked briefly about her different transcendental qualities and her beauty. And then I'm going to try to, as long as we have time, read some different pastimes involving Srimati Radharani. So that should keep me busy. Okay, I'm reading a verse today from, after my long introduction, from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela 4:56. Radha Krishna eke atma dhuri deha dhari anyoye valase rasa aspadana kari. Radha and Krishna are one and the same, but they have assumed two bodies. Thus they enjoy each other, tasting the mellows of love. I'm not reading the full purport, but this is a part of Srila Prabhupada's purport. The two transcendentalists, Radha and Krishna, are a puzzle to the materialists. The above description of Radha and Krishna from the diary of Srila Swarup Damodara Goswami is a condensed explanation, but one needs great spiritual insight to understand the mystery of these two personalities. One is enjoined in two. Sri Krishna is the potent factor, and Srimati Radharani is the internal potency. According to the Vedanta philosophy, there is no difference between the potent and the potency. They are identical. We cannot differentiate between one and the other any more than we can separate fire from heat. In fact, Radharani is the internal potency of Sri Krishna, and she eternally intensifies the pleasure of Sri Krishna. Impersonalists cannot understand this without the help of a Mahabhagavata devotee. The very name Radha suggests that Srimati Radharani is eternally the topmost mistress of the comforts of Sri Krishna. As such, she is the medium transmitting the living entity's service to Krishna. Devotees in Vrindavan therefore seek the mercy of Srimati Radharani in order to be recognized as loving servants to Krishna. Okay, I'm going to read a little bit more from chapter 4 of Chaitanya Charitamrita, where we have one of our best explanations in any of Srila Prabhupada's books, I think, of exactly who Radharani is, what is her position, and how we can understand her. And of course, it's a little complicated theology, because we have the deepest theology in the world, the deepest, greatest understandings of very, very deep spiritual things. As Prabhupada said, it's a puzzle to the materialist. Not so easy to understand. Okay? So, I am going to start. This is Adi Leela 4:68. The essence of the Hladini potency is love of God. The essence of love of God is emotion, bhava. And the ultimate development of emotion is mahabhava. Sri Radha Thakurani is the embodiment of Mahabhava. She is the repository of all good qualities and the crest jewel among all the lovely consorts of Sri Krishna. This is a quote from Ujjvala Nilamani, Srila Rupa Goswami. Of these two gopis, Radharani and Chandravali, Srimati Radharani is superior in all respects. She is the embodiment of Mahabhava, and she surpasses all in good qualities. Her mind, senses, and body are steeped in love for Krishna. She is Krishna's own energy, and she helps him in his pastimes. Now please listen how Lord Krishna's consorts help him face rasa and how they help him in his pastimes. The beloved consorts of Lord Krishna are of three kinds: the goddesses of fortune, the queens, and the milkmaids of Raja, who are foremost of all. These consorts all proceed from Radhika. In other words, all of the different queens in Dwarka, all of the different consorts, the Lakshmi, all the goddess of fortune, they're all emanations from from Radharani. Just as Krishna, so many different expansions come from him. There's so many different incarnations, avatars coming from Krishna. So in the same way, Radharani being Shakti Tattva, fully empowered. He says it's almost like the other half of Krishna. Krishna, you know, is, divides in two. So, and it says that the potent and the potency are equal. So that means Radharani is capable of innumerable expansions. As so many queens, goddesses of fortune, etc., all come from her. And we know in Dwarka, all the principal queens were actually expansions of Radharani and the principal gopis. Radharani expanded in Dwarka as Satyabhama. And Chandravali became Rukmini. So, yeah. And so on. There were so many, all the different gopis were there, and they became the principal queens of Krishna. So, very well, and all of this is coming from Radharani. The Vraja Devis have diverse bodily features. They are her expansions, are the instruments of expanding rasa. Without many consorts, there's not so much exaltation in rasa. Therefore, there are many manifestations of Srimati Radharani to assist in the Lord's pastimes. Among them are various groups of consorts in Vraja who have varieties of sentiments and mellows. They help Lord Krishna taste all the sweetness of the rasa dance and other pastimes. Now, of course, all the gopis are not all direct expansions of Radharani. Many are, millions. But Radharani has so many expansions of the gopis. But then there's also eternal associates. There are those gopis who eternally are jivas, who are with Krishna always. And then the third category is those who are jivas who are coming from the material world, particularly when he manifests his pastimes on earth in Gokula. So there's also those newly arriving people. And they get sort of finally trained up by Radharani and the senior gopis, and they learn how to perfectly serve Krishna from them. Okay? Radha is the one who gives pleasure to Govinda, and she also is the enchantress of Govinda. She is the be-all and end-all of Govinda and the crest jewel of all of his consorts. Quote from Brihad Gautamiya Tantra: the transcendental goddess, Srimati Radharani, is a direct counterpart of Lord Sri Krishna. She is the central figure for all the goddesses of fortune. She possesses all the attractiveness to attract the all-attractive goddess personality of Godhead. She is the primeval, internal potency of the Lord. She is identical with Lord Krishna, for she embodies the mellows of love. The energy of Lord Krishna is identical with him. Her worship consists of fulfilling the desires of Lord Krishna. Therefore, the Puranas call her Radhika. This is, therefore, Radha is Parama Devata, the Supreme Goddess. She is worshipable by everyone. She is the protectress of all, and she is the mother of the entire universe. I have already explained the meaning of Sarva Lakshmi. Radha is the original source of all the goddesses of fortune. Lord Krishna enchants the world, but Sri Radha enchants even him. Therefore, she is the supreme goddess of all. Sri Radha is the full power. and Lord Krishna is the possessor of full power. The two are not different, as evidenced by the revealed scripture. They are indeed the same, just as musk and scent are inseparable, or as fire and heat are non-different. Thus Radha and Krishna are one, yet they have taken two forms to enjoy the mellow of pastimes. To promulgate prema bhakti, devotional service, and love of Godhead, Krishna appeared as Sri Krishna Chaitanya with the mood and complexion of Srimati Radha. Thus that explained the meaning of the fifth verse. Okay. So as we can see, Srimati Radharani is a very, very important figure. She is not some simple coward girl, you know, who just happens to be very beautiful and very attractive and has such great qualities. She actually has great power. She is internal Shakti. She actually can manifest Vrindavan. You know, all of these manifestations, things come from her ultimately. And of course, she, Durga Parvati, in the material world, is also, you know, a couple steps down indirectly, is also incarnation of her. Because she has that inconceivable potency, just as Krishna has inconceivable potency. So, I'll read one more. And this is from a Radhastami lecture, Srila Prabhupada, 1971, where he sort of sums up her position. We should understand what Radha Krishna actually is. Radha and Krishna display their pastimes through Krishna's internal energy. The pleasure potency of Krishna's internal energy is a most difficult subject matter. And unless one understands what Krishna is, one cannot understand it. Krishna does not take any pleasure in this material world, but he has a pleasure potency. The object of Krishna's pleasure potency is Radharani. Krishna does not take pleasure in this external energy, but exhibits his internal energy, his pleasure potency, as Radharani, and then enjoys with her. Thus Krishna manifests himself as Radharani in order to enjoy his internal pleasure potency. Of the many extensions, expansions, and incarnations of the Lord, the pleasure potency is the foremost and chief. So, as it's saying, Radha and Krishna are in one sense one, but they also are two. This is the Chintabheda Veda philosophy that Lord Chaitanya gave us, simultaneously one and different. So while they are one in a sense, they perform very, very different functions. Krishna's energy, she's energetic. Krishna is the potent, she's the potency. She manifests within the internal energy. She specifically manifests the Haladini potency. There's the potencies of eternity. Sambit is then Sambit is the knowledge. But what are they? Sambit, Haladini, Sandini, Sambit, and Haladini. And so she is the possessor and the manifestation of the Haladini potency, which is the pleasure potency, which gives ananda, which gives bliss to Krishna, to his devotees, to all the loving pastimes, to all the relationships. So in one sense, you know, sometimes people say, you know, like in different religions, people say things like, well, God is love. Well, that's a very general statement. What is, he is, but what does it really mean? That's one thing he is, but Krishna has so many potencies, he has so much power. But actually, people recognize this as being very important. Whether you're looking for material love or spiritual love, everybody somehow feels that this potency of love is incredibly important, or maybe one of the most important things, because it is. And it comes from the original loving feelings and relationship between Radha and Krishna. There would be no love anywhere without Radha and Krishna, because love means two, at least, right? there has to be more than one. So in one of the Puranas, which I don't fully understand this or even pretend to have these kind of realizations, but one of the Puranas is described that originally, of course originally, who knows, this is all eternal, you know, everything is sort of infinite, but at some, not exactly a point of time, but let's say somewhere or somehow, Krishna was by himself as a cowherd boy, and he had a desire to enjoy to have pleasure, to have relationship, and Radharani manifested. Instead, he's separated, but one part remained the same as Krishna, and then he also created or manifested, because we should say, Radharani. So that's obviously how important Radharani is in the whole larger cosmic scheme of things. So, coming back to Earth, coming down to something a little bit more, perhaps a little more nectar, let's talk about Radharani's appearance on Earth. All what I'm going to be reading is from the Padma Purana, the Patala Khanda section, chapter 71. So, I've never read it, but this is authorized. The Puranas relate a story concerning the divine appearance of Srimati Radharani as follows. One day, Vrishabhanu Maharaj went to the bank of Yamuna at around noon to take a midday bath. At that moment, he saw a golden lotus flower floating on the water and shining brightly like a thousand suns. Vrishabhanu immediately waded into the river, and when he came near the golden lotus flower, he beheld the most beautiful and radiant form of a baby girl lying within the petals of the lotus. At the same moment, Lord Brahma suddenly appeared there and, speaking in a grave voice, informed Vrishabhanu that in his previous life, Vrishabhanu and his wife Kirtita had performed great austerities in order to get the consort of Lord Vishnu as their daughter. Lord Brahma told Vrishabhanu that this girl was the origin of the goddess Lakshmi, and that he just should take great care of her. Lord Brahma then placed the baby girl in the arms of Vrishabhanu, who became overjoyed, and after taking permission from Lord Brahma, returned to his home. Seeing the beautiful baby shining like a millions of autumnal moons, Mother Kirtita was overcome with joy, and immediately arranged for all kinds of religious rites to be performed, and donated thousands of cows to the Brahmins. At that same time, baby Radhika was placed in a gem-studded cradle and gently rocked back and forth by all the little girls of the village. Day by day, her luster increased, just like the digits of the moon. Within a short while, it was observed that the baby girl made no noise and had not yet opened her eyes. Vrishabhanu's wife feared that their baby girl was perhaps blind from birth and also dumb. Now, I'm going to continue the story. This is in this book, Srimati Radharani, that was written, The Glories of and Pastimes, was written by Bhakti Purushottama Swami. And this is, continues also from that Padma Purana selection. And this is called Opening of Srimati Radharani's Eyes. On the day following Srimati Radharani's birth, Purnamasi Devi came to the house of Vrishabhanu on the invitation of Tirtita. As soon as she saw the baby girl, immediately she felt so much ecstasy and said, "It is none other than Rishabhanu who has appeared in your house." She advised Kirtita and Vrishabhanu, "Take nice care of this girl. She is the origin of Lakshmi Devi. She is Ishvari, the controller of Bhuloka and Goloka. She is always worshipped by the Gopakanya coward girls. Great personalities like Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Marut, and Varuna constantly offer their prayers at her lotus feet. Just as Sri Hari appears on this earthly planet by his sweet will, in the same way this girl, who is the eternal consort of Sri Hari, has appeared in your house. By seeing, touching, or worshipping this girl, all desires will be fulfilled. She's appeared here to perform some confidential pastimes. You must take care of her very nicely." After some time, Vrishabhanu and Kirtita were looking at their beautiful daughter more closely, and suddenly realized she was not seeing anything. Her eyes were still closed. Everyone, including Kirtita, started to cry in distress that such a beautiful girl was blind. Still, even though she was blind, because of her unparalleled beauty, everyone came to see the newborn daughter of Vrishabhanu and Kirtita. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda also came there, along with their son, Krishna. Nanda Maharaj and Vrishabhanu Maharaj embraced when they met, and Mother Yashoda was greeted with loving affection by Kirtita. She took her inside the house and embraced her. Lord Krishna understood that his eternal consort, Sri Radha, had appeared in the house of Kirtita. Radharani, in the form of a baby girl, was lying on the bed. While both Yashoda and Kirtita were busy discussing the newly born girl and her unfortunate blindness, Sri Krishna climbed down from the lap of Mother Yashoda, entering the room where Radharani lay sleeping, he climbed onto her bed and touched her eyes. Immediately she opened her eyes to take darshan of her beloved Krishna. When Kirtita and Yashoda saw Radharani's eyes had opened, they were very happy and immediately shared the news with everyone. There's another description regarding opening Radharani's eyes. Oh, it's similar, but then Mother Yashoda went to pick them both up together on her lap, and then they met in that way. The reason for Radharani taking birth as a blind girl is as follows. In Goloka Dham, spiritual world, Lord Krishna is preparing to come to the earth planet to perform his Boma Leela. He mentioned to Radharani that she also had to come to appear in his pastimes. But Radharani expressed her reluctance to come to earth because she would have to see so many people when the only one she wished to look upon was Krishna. Krishna assured her that on earth she'd be able to see him always. Radharani accepted on the condition that on earth the first person she saw would be him. That is why she appeared as a blind girl and gained her sight only in the presence of her beloved Shyamasundara. So, one thing that we have learned from Srila Prabhupada is that we approach Krishna not directly, but we approach Krishna through the Guru, through the spiritual master, through the previous acharyas, all the way into the disciplic succession. Ultimately, we approach Krishna through Radharani. Prabhupada says, this was in a 1968 class on Radhastami, but if you take devotional service, just try to please Radharani, and Krishna will be gotten very easily. Because Radharani can deliver Krishna. She is so great, a devotee, the emblem of Mahabhagavat. Even Krishna cannot understand what is Radharani's quality. Even Krishna, although he says, Vidaham Samatitani, I know everything, still he fails to understand Radharani. Radharani is so great. Krishna wanted to understand the potency of Radharani. Therefore, he accepted the position of Radharani. He's talking about the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. Krishna thought, I am full, I am complete in every respect, but still, I want to understand Radharani. This propensity made Krishna obliged to accept the propensity of Radharani to understand Krishna himself. So, this idea of trying to please Krishna and please Radharani goes to one of her greatest qualities. And I would say, for the devotees, this is perhaps the most important quality. And that is the great mercy of Radharani. She is so merciful, she is so kind to everyone, and especially to her devotees. So I wanted to read, here's a nice verse. Okay. This is from Sri Radhastika, which are prayers in glorification of Srimati Radharani from the Gita Mala of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I'll just read a couple of ones here. Jidarilo Radha Padma Parama Jatani Sepailo Krishna Pada Amulya Ratani. He who has grasped hold of the lotus feet of Radha with great care obtains the lotus feet of Krishna, which are like priceless jewels. Radha Pada Vina Kabu Krishna Nahi Mile Radhar Dasir Krishna Sarva Vede Bole. Without taking shelter of the lotus feet of Radha, one can never personally meet Lord Krishna. The Vedic scriptures declare that Krishna is the property of the maidservants of Sri Radha. So this is her mercy, and this is why we go through Radharani. So we should always be praying to her for her mercy, for her ability to grant us devotional service. She's known as Bhakti Devi, the embodiment of Bhakti. So for us to advance in Krishna consciousness, to be able to understand Krishna, to be able to understand philosophy, to be able to serve nicely, we need to go through Radharani, pray for her, and she will help us. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.23, Srila Prabhupada says in a purport, in the Brahma Samhita, It is said that the Lord is never to be found by becoming a great scholar of the Vedic literatures, but he is very easily approachable through his pure devotees. In Vrindavan, all the pure devotees pray for the mercy of Srimati Radharani, the pleasure potency of the Lord. Srimati Radharani is the tender-hearted feminine counterpart of the Supreme Whole, resembling the perfectional stage of worldly feminine nature. Therefore, the mercy of Radharani is available to and very readily to the sincere devotees. And once she recommends such a devotee to Lord Krishna, the Lord at once accepts the devotee's admittance into his association. And a little more on the same thing. This is from Radhastami Lecture 1971. I think it's London. Radharani is Hari Priya, very dear to Krishna. So if we approach Krishna through Radharani, through the mercy of Radharani, then it becomes very easy. If Radharani recommends, oh, this devotee is very nice, then Krishna immediately accepts, however fool I may be. Because it is recommended by Radharani, Krishna accepts. Therefore in Vrindavan, you'll find all the devotees, they're chanting more Radharani's name than Krishna's. Wherever you'll go, you'll find the devotees addressing Jai Radhe. You will find, still in Vrindavan, they are glorifying Radharani. They're more interested worshiping Radharani, because however fallen I may be, in some way or another, if I can please Radharani, then it's very easy for me to understand Krishna. Okay? So, talking about Radharani's great mercy to the devotees, as the tender-hearted counterpart, tender-hearted feminine counterpart. So, very, very kind to the devotees, always wanting to give shelter. I'm going to read also. This is another one. This is also Bhakti Vinod. Oh, no, I'm sorry. This is from the Sri Radhika Stava, from Stavamala of Srila Rupa Goswami. And this is Prabhupada's purport. You know, some of the bhajans or songs that you hear on the tapes, and Prabhupada will give a little purport to explain the verses and explain the song. So that's what he's done here. So, oh, you all know this song. Damodara Rati Barnanaveshi Harinashkuta Brindavani Vipaneshi. Yeah, this is, of course, very well known. And the last verse that I'm going to Prabhupada's actually commenting on is Karunam Karumayi Karunabharite Sanakasanatan Varnitacharite. O you whose divine qualities are sung by Sanaka and Sanatana Kumar, O most merciful Radha, please have mercy on me. And Prabhupada says, and she appeared as the daughter of King Vishwabhanu and her companion, Lalita and Vishakhi Devi and the devotees. So on behalf of the pure devotees of Krishna, Rupa Goswami is praying, Karanam Kurumayi Karunabharite. O my worshipful Radharani, you are full of mercy. So I'm begging of your mercy, because you are so merciful. You are so merciful. Oh, you are not an ordinary girl. Sanaka Sanatan Varnita Charite. This girl's description is possible to be made by great saintly persons like Sanaka and Sanatan. She is not ordinary. So, again, the devotees are praying for Radharani's mercy, which she will grant very easily. Actually, more easily than Krishna. And that's why, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, he's described as the most magnanimous, most merciful, most munificent, all of these different descriptions of his great mercy and kindness. Why? Because he came in the mood of Radharani. So he was exhibiting that mood of Radharani in his great mercy to all the conditioned souls in this universe, especially on this earth planet. Some of the qualities of Radharani include her great beauty. And there's no question that Radharani is described as the most beautiful female, most beautiful anything, anywhere in the universe. Her qualities are almost beyond compare, beyond descriptions, beyond what we can imagine. Because what really makes these qualities of beauty special is the love and the devotion that comes through. And this is what makes you beautiful. And this is what makes devotees beautiful. When devotees are pure at heart, they're beautiful. It doesn't matter what their body looks like. There's even that verse in the Nectar of Instruction, right? That one should never disregard a devotee if he's, you know, this or that, or he's crippled or blind, whatever. Whatever body, it doesn't matter. Because when devotion is there, purity is there, then all of that comes through. Now, Srimati Radharani is also, her physical form, everything about her is incredibly beautiful. So you have that combined with your bhakti. Just amazing. So, read a couple things about Srimati Radharani's beauty and qualities. This is from Nectar Devotion. I think it's chapter 44. The beauty of Srimati Radharani described as follows. Her eyes defeat the attractive features of the eyes of a chikori bird. When one sees the face of Radharani, he immediately hates the beauty of the moon. Her bodily complexion defeats the beauty of gold. Thus let us look upon the transcendental beauty of Srimati Radharani. Krishna's attraction for Radharani is described by Krishna himself thus. The beauty of Srimati Radharani. Okay. Here's just some other verses from different places about her beauty. Mostly Chaitanya Charitamrita. The beauty of Srimati Radharani is described as follows. Her eyes defeat the attractive features of the eyes of a chikori bird. The beauty of Srimati Radharani's eyes forcibly devours the beauty of newly grown blue lotus flowers. And the beauty of her face surpasses that of entire forests of fully blossomed lotuses. The Lord sometimes becomes mad after the beauty of Radharani. Poets describe... Yeah, timing there. Poets describe that under those circumstances, although Lord Krishna is Madan Mohan, he becomes Madanadaha, or enchanted by the beauty of Radharani. The real beauty is brought in Krishna. One who is attracted by the beauty brought in Krishna cannot be attracted by the false beauty of this material world. One who is attracted to the beauty brought in Krishna cannot be attracted to... Oh, I read that one. Okay. There's one other description I wanted to read. Let's see over here. Okay. This is in a book by Shiva Ramaswamy. It's called Krishna Sangati, and it's All Pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. And this particular one is from the Garga Samhita. So the source is Garga Samhita, and this was a really interesting pastime, which I had never heard before. I just read this recently. This is a pastime where after 100 years of separation, then Krishna and Radha are going to come together. Because there was a whole backstory. I think she was cursed by Sridham and this big, fierce interchange where they were very competitive, Radha and Krishna. So Sridham cursed her. I mean, it's all part of the pastime, of course. So there was, after Krishna left for Mathura with Akura, they were separated. Radha and Krishna were separated for 100 years. There was a couple meetings at Kurukshetra, two or three times they met. But basically, they weren't together until then. Now, after 100 years, they're going to be able to reunite. So the first thing is that Radharani heard about some place of pilgrimage that she wanted to go and visit. It's called Siddhashram. And it's actually very close to Dwarka. It was near Dwarka. And so she went there with her gopi friends, actually. Subscribed millions of them. many of them. That was another pastime, millions. But anyway, she was there with many of the other gopis, and they were doing this austerity or whatever, some worship at the Siddhashram, which wasn't that important. The main thing was to get her there close to Dwarka. And what happened is Krishna, and somehow his queens wanted to go there too. I guess it was an auspicious time for sacrifice or for some jagya. So all of his principal queens were with Krishna, and they were coming together. And the queens had all heard of Radharani, and they all knew Krishna's great attachment and love for Radharani, which sometimes bothered them a little bit. But, you know, devotees aren't really that envious. But, you know, they had to sort of live with the fact that Krishna was mostly attracted to Radharani. So they really wanted to see her. They really wanted to meet and see, who is this wonderful, beautiful woman who is, even though we are all so beautiful, we are all so talented, so attractive, but Krishna's more attracted to this village girl, Radharani. And of course, they were all very opulent queens, very, very opulent. And so they were all kind of coming together. And they saw Radharani from a distance. And they were kind of saying, well, you know, I mean, she's okay. But, you know, what about me? I got this and this and that. And, you know, they were kind of getting a little puffed up. So Radha and Krishna managed to squelch that very quickly. And they were coming together. They were coming, and they sent a message. I think Lalit or someone came over. And they sent a message that they all wanted to meet Radharani. So Radharani was supposed to come out. So she got herself all dressed and beautiful, nice, you know, nice outfit and jewels and flowers and everything. So now, with the help of her youthful assistants, Radharani quickly dressed, decorated, and ornamented herself. And Lalita cautioned her, "Don't show too much eagerness to meet Hari in public. Be patient. Conceal your sentiment." Conceal her sentiment. She'd been waiting for so many years to see Krishna. It was very difficult. So finally, restrain herself she did in the presence of Krishna's wives and all the Yadu ladies. Flanked by Sakis and followed by Manjaris, Radha humbly approached Krishna. Radha was like the sun of incomparable beauty appearing on the horizon of Siddhashram. The sun god worshipped her by assuming a subordinate role in her presence. His sunlight receding before her radiance. Bees attracted by her fragrance cleared a path before her, and the forest sounds took shelter of the tinkling of her anklets. Radha was slender, delicate, as cooling of millions of moons, and as effulgent as a necklace of lightning flashes. The gopis parted like stage curtains to reveal Radhika, the ultimate celebrity, to Krishna and his queens. A camphor-scented smile graced her delicate lips. Stardust beamed from her gaze, and the entire forest swayed with her movements. Radha stepped forward with the grace of a celestial doe, and the love that emanated from her disarmed and humbled Krishna's queens. They were awestruck. Rukmini and her co-wives were like wilted flowers tossed into a river of beauty and sucked into the whirlpool of Radha's unparalleled love for Krishna. Unable to bear the ecstasy in their hearts, the image upon their eyes, the overwhelming presence before them, all the queens reeled, rolled their eyes, and fell to the ground unconscious. Then, of course, they became very humble, and they all recognized Radharani, and they all were, you know, actually, they all wanted to befriend her. And, you know, that was the thing. It's not like they were all so envious. They all came, they actually correctly worshipped her. And all the queens were like, they understood who Radharani was. So it was a very, very, very wonderful experience. And a nice description of her beauty and her love, her devotion. Now, Radharani, we all know Krishna has 64 qualities. So I'm just going to enumerate these, because I always like to hear these, they're kind of fun. Qualities of Srimati Radharani. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjhalila 23:87-91. Srimati Radharani's 25 chief transcendental qualities are: 1. She is very sweet. She is always freshly youthful. Her eyes are restless. She smiles brightly. She has beautiful, auspicious lines. She makes Krishna happy with her bodily aroma. She is very expert in singing. Her speech is charming. She is very expert in joking and speaking pleasantly. She is very humble and meek. She is always full of mercy. She is cunning. She is expert in executing her duties. She is shy. She is always respectful. She is always calm. She is always grave. She is expert in enjoying life. She is situated at the topmost level of ecstatic love. She is the reservoir of loving affairs in Gokula. She is the most famous of submissive devotees. She is very affectionate to elderly people. She is very submissive to the love of her friends. She is the chief gopi. And 25, she always keeps Krishna under her control. In short, she possesses unlimited transcendental qualities, just as Lord Krishna does. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the verses are from Ujjval Nilamani, of Rupa Goswami. So, knowing who Radharani is, knowing that she is really our access point to Krishna, we want to approach Radharani with prayer, with humility, trying to understand her the best we can in our limited way, but knowing that she really is this emblem of mercy. You know, she's called Karunamayi, the mother of mercy. And so this is how devotees relate to her. They're like, oh, you know, Srimati Radharani, you are so wonderful, you are so beautiful, and you are so merciful. And you are pleasing Krishna. A devotee always wants to please Krishna. All the gopis, all the residents of Raja, everybody wants to please Krishna. Everyone's attracted to Krishna. So, since the devotees want to please Krishna, they think, what pleases Krishna the most? How will he be the most pleased? Not like that. So, obviously, Srimati Radharani pleases Krishna the most. So the devotees want to help Srimati Radharani please Krishna in that relationship. You know, isn't even one of our verses, right, that we sing about the spiritual master in the morning, and is that he's making tasteful arrangements for Radha and Krishna, for their rasa and their, you know, in Vrindavan. So the devotees are always anxious to please Radharani and to please Krishna, because pleasing Radharani pleases Krishna. And automatically Krishna will be very pleased. He said, if you please Radharani, then she is so merciful that she presents us to Krishna. Because this is this nice devotee. Krishna says, oh, yes. You know, in other words, you know, when she gives the endorsement, that's it. He accepts. And we don't even have to be so necessarily advanced. Prabhupada used that word, even though I might be fool number one, or even though I'm this or that. Not the Prabhupada is, but that, you know, we are taking our position. But still, by approaching Radharani, we will be able to approach Krishna. And of course, we always do all of this through the agency of our spiritual master. You know, we're worshiping Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual master. In that way, we come closer and closer to the divine couple. So, a few minutes left, I guess. I want to read a few more pastimes. These are all from Bhakti Purushottama Swami's book. Here's another one about her great mercy. He's got some pastimes with her, some of the devotees. Of course, the ones that some of us, we've probably heard a lot, is like Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. One time, Rupa Goswami wanted to make some nice sweet rice for his elder brother. And he, this isn't like a spiritual master, Sanatana Goswami. And so, but he didn't have anything. He was in this little bhajan kutir, it's a little hut, didn't have anything to offer, anything to cook. So this little village girl comes along, you know, coward girl, and says, what do you need? And he said, well, I wanted to cook sweet rice. He says, oh, I have the ingredients, I can bring them. He says, in fact, I'll even cook them for you. He says, okay, so that'd be nice for my brother. So Sanatana Goswami, so she leaves, Sanatana Goswami comes, eats the sweet rice, and goes into ecstasy. In fact, he was so ecstatic, so blissful, he said, where did you get this? And Rupa Goswami said, well, this, you know, this coward girl came and she made this for me. So Goswami says, you realize that was Radharani? Srimati Radharani? And of course, Rupa Goswami was, oh my gosh, you're right, yes. And Sanatana Goswami kind of chastised him. Why? Why did he chastise him? It's one of the best things. Yes, Richard?
Taking service from her.
Yes, because he said, he was almost saying, like, you won't go out and beg, do madhukari, go out and beg like you're supposed to as a sannyasi or whatever, as a renounced person, and get the ingredients. So you sit here and you make Radharani come to you. That's not good. We want to serve Radharani. And there's a similar one. Was it Rupa Goswami who was out in the sun, you know, getting sun? Oh, that was Raghunath? He was out there in the sun getting sunburned, doing his bhajan, writing his books. And so, well, I've heard one version about Radharani came with an umbrella, and another one that she held her sari, you know, the top of her sari, over his head so that the sun wouldn't bother him. And of course, he's almost oblivious, and Sanatana Goswami again comes along and says, whatever they prove or whatever, he says, do you realize Radharani is serving you because you're sitting out here in the sun? And he says, oh my gosh, you know. So I think he'd go to Bhajan Kutir after that, you know, so he wouldn't. In other words, Radharani is very anxious to serve the devotees, but we don't want to make her serve us. We want to serve her. That was the point. This is a really nice pastime. Might be my last one here. With Shyamananda Goswami of her mercy. This is nice. It's called Radharani Blesses Shyamananda Pandit. So there's a little description of Shyamananda. Very wonderful devotee. He was a disciple of Hriday Chaitanya. And Hriday Chaitanya instructed him to go to Vrindavan and take instruction from Jiva Goswami. To learn from Jiva Goswami. So that's happening. And he was constantly hearing the glories of devotional service to the Lord. His name is Krishnadas. We're talking about Shyamananda, but he was actually initiated by his spiritual master as Krishnadas. So he wanted to serve Shri Radha Gopinath in a solitary kunj. He expressed his desire to Srila Jiva Goswami, who ordered him to sweep the kunj every morning to receive the mercy of Srimati Radharani. Following this order, Krishnadas started to sweep the kunj daily during the last part of the night. In the evening, he would chant and dance in front of the deities and cry with intense devotion. After spending some days like this, he received the merciful glance of Srimati Radharani. That night, Krishnadas was sweeping the kunj van. He found a nupura, which is an anklet decorated with bells, ankle bells, lying in the kunj. With great happiness, he picked it up. As soon as he touched it, he became overwhelmed with ecstasy. With tears streaming down his face, he held the nupura to his chest, sometimes putting it to his head, sometimes smelling its intoxicating fragrance. At that time, Srimati Radharani discovered she had lost her nupura. She was very worried and sent Lalita to search for it in Nindavan. That was his place. Lalita Devi realized that Sri Radhika must have left her nupura there in order to manifest some special pastime. Without comment, she left for the kunj in Nindavan. It was almost morning. Lalyasaka appeared in front of Krishnadas, dressed in a simple maid servant. She asked Krishnadas about the anklet. Krishnadas says, yes, I found a golden anklet. Does this nupura belong to you? Lalita replied, no, it is not mine. It belongs to my dear Saki. Krishnadas said, how did this anklet come to be here? Lalita replied, my dear Saki came last night to pick flowers. She lost it in the dark. Krishnadas understood that there must be some secret in this event. He said, this is a very valuable golden nupura. Please understand, I can't simply hand it over to you. Let your mistress come here to claim her anklet. I will measure it against her feet. Lalita Devi realized that this was indeed a symptom of some new pastime of Radhika's. She returned to Srimati Radhika and repeated what Krishnadas had told her. Then Radharani accompanied Lalita Saki to the kunj. Approaching Krishnadas, she extended her hand to him and requested he return her anklet. With great surprise, Krishnadas said, by seeing you, it certainly appears you are the daughter of a great family. How is it possible your anklet ended up here? Srimati Radharani replied, Krishnadas, this is my Nikunj Mandira. Every night I come here to perform my pastime. In great awe and ecstasy, Krishnadas said, now I understand that you must be Nikunjeshwari. If that is true, then, O Nikunjeshwari, O Devi, please manifest your most beautiful transcendental Sarup form to me. You will fulfill my desire of seeing your Sarup form in this life. Srimati smiled and said, until now, you have not had the transcendental vision to see my Sarup form, but I will offer you one great benefit for your service. Srimati Radharani then took the nupura from the hand of Krishnadas, and touching it first to the dust of Raja, she placed the nupura on the forehead of Krishnadas. She said, Krishnadas, you have engaged in my most dear kunj save, and with careful attention without duplicity, thus your heart has become as clean as this kunj. As an indication of your pure service, this tilak will remain on your forehead always. I have seen for myself the pleasure of your experience in my service. You please me by your devotional service. My name is Shama, and you give me Ananda by your service. Thus from today, I give you the name Shyamananda. Lala Dasaki came forward and gave Shyamananda a confidential mantra. She told Sri Srimati, "Oh Saki, you have given so much mercy to Krishna Das. Now please, just once, give him darshan of your sarup form. That is his great desire. Please fulfill it." Then, like a momentary flash of lightning, Srimati Radharani showed her form to Shyamananda, who fell to the ground unconscious. After some time, Shyamananda regained consciousness. He immediately went to Srila Jiva Goswami and told him everything. Jiva Goswami embraced Shyamananda, and from that time on, all the Rajavasis referred to him by the name Shyamananda. This news of Krishnadas changing his tilak, his name, and even his Ishta mantra reached Hridaya Chaitanya, who is his guru, at Ambika Kalna. He sent a message to Krishnadas to come back immediately. In other places, it said Hridaya Chaitanya went to Vrindavan. I've heard that one. He was very angry to see that Krishnadas had changed his tilak, taken a new name, and started chanting a new mantra. He asked Krishnadas the reason for this behavior. Krishna was a very dedicated and fully surrendered to his guru. He did not know anyone else except his guru. He had full faith that he'd receive the transcendental wealth only due to the mercy of Sri Gurudev. In a simple, surrendered state of mind, he replied, "My dear Gurudev, you have created this situation by your causeless mercy." Sri Chaitanya became angry and tried to remove the tilak from his forehead. To his surprise, the more he rubbed, the more tilak, more clear the tilak mark became. That night, Sri Radhika appeared to Sri Chaitanya in a dream and explained that she had personally given Krishnadas his new tilak and changed his name. Understanding Krishnadas's fortune at receiving the mercy of Radharani, Sri Chaitanya immediately went and embraced Shyamananda. All glories to the mercy of Srimati Radharani. Looks like we're almost ready?
Almost
ready. Okay. I wish you got it. And at this point, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srimati Radharani Ki Jai.